you know, we've obviously had some, you know, some information. We've got some accurate information on our performances over the season. In 9 rounds, we've failed against, you know, a couple of very, very good sides. We sit second and third on the ladder, and the West Coast got us over there. Outside of that, we've got some clear information about what we need to get better at. And the great part is we, you know, we've got a lot of the season still to play, and we're looking forward to our opportunities to get better.
Ken Hinckley, coach of the Power, speaking about their situation at the moment. There's some concern that they might be just flat track bullies. Rodney Eade knows about them. He's probably coached against many of them. Coached against many of them throughout his magnificent time in the game as a coach, and probably played against plenty of them as a player as well. Joins us as part of the team on a Tuesday. Good morning, Rocket.
Morning, Daniel. How are you, mate?
Going very well, thank you. Who's the biggest flat track bully you came across in your time, player or coach?
Gee, that's a bit harsh. I'm going to reserve the right to it.
Probably a fair answer too, I would think. Just on the Power, while we're there, because I think they're a fascinating watch at the moment. I still believe that they're good enough to win the Premiership, but they have been found wanting, Rocket, against some of the better teams so far in 2021. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I agree. I still think probably early in the year, I thought they were probably the best team in the comp. So, but they have been found wanting. I think their midfield's okay, but it's not as deep as some of, like the Bulldogs and other teams, as in star quality. So the defence, I think, has been shored up, but maybe it kicks some goals. But there is a reliance on Charlie at full forward, and Charlie's not a Tony Lockett. Like he is a contest, but he doesn't kick a lot of goals against a good team. So they need to find some other avenues. They need to, no Rosie's down. The two other young blokes not playing. So they had a challenge. I don't think Marshall's really taken the next step against the good side. So that Georgiades is improving. But to me, they probably just don't kick enough goals for the time that goes inside 50.
So if you're Ken Hinckley and you've got a team that finished on top of the ladder last year at the end of the home and away and wasn't good enough to make the grand final, clearly, and you come in and you start the season so well, as you said, Rocket, and then you've lost a few games to competitors, and they're the games you want to try and measure yourself against. What are you saying to your boys? What are you investigating? How far down are you drilling into this? Because it's round 9. Like, it's got 14 rounds of the season to go. We've got plenty of time to sort this out. What are you drilling into?
Yeah, I don't think you throw the baby out with the bathwater and change everything that they're doing. I think they just need some tweaks. The time now, whether they haven't got as much depth, I thought they had good depth, maybe they haven't got as much depth as to replace what they've got out, and it hurts them. Lysette's out as well. So I think Richmond obviously covered the other night, but I think generally if you lose quality players, it's really going to hurt teams. Because the competition's even, so they don't trick. I think their inside 50s, the quality of inside 50s, where they kick it and how they kick it and what their entries are. They tend under heat just to bang it, get it in their play territory, which a lot of teams do. But I think their forwards one on one or untalented enough. I don't think at the moment Gray's a star, but he's not playing the output that he had before. I think they need to get some separation and need to be able to direct the ball, so it gives them a bit more opportunity.
Rocket, how do you coach from a mental side? So Charlie, it seems at times that he tries too hard. And it's a little bit the same with Max King at St Kilda and a couple of the other St Kilda players in front of goal. So when it becomes a mental thing, is that something a senior coach can fix, or does it have to be done by others?
I think it's a combination. I think it depends on probably the knowledge of the senior coach. Depends whether, you know, it's best to outsource that as a goalkeeping coach, whether it's a psychologist to be able to get your mental routine and pare that back a bit. It can be a bit of both. I think Max King has said to me most of his misses were to the right side, which is, I think, is a good thing. If you miss the same side all the time, there's obviously a flaw that can be fixed. If you're spraying them both ways, well, good luck. I think Max King, that last one, you can see from behind the goal, that where the camera was, he ran out a bit to the right and then stayed straight, so he was always going to miss to the right. So there's a technical flaw that you can fix. And I think generally he's got a reasonably good technique, so I don't think it's going to be difficult. But the psychology of it, I think that you still got Just say the next one you get, know that you're going to kick it. Train on the track, but also want the ball. Don't get to a stage now of not wanting the ball because you're scared of missing the goals. That's going to be a double negative. You still need to be able to attack the footy. He's winning the ball well. I think it played with his mind because Max King dropped a mark in that last quarter. He fumbled that one inside 50 in the third quarter. So it can be an ongoing problem. So they've got to arrest that straight away.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we've been debating this pretty much all season, but it's sort of intensified in recent days. A simple question. Do you think David Teague can coach?
Oh, yeah, it's a bit harsh.
No, but do you think he's a good coach? I'll rephrase it, sorry.
I think it's always, honestly, I'm not, this is going to sound like a sin, I think, it's always hard to judge a coach totally outside the four walls. So there's a few aspects. There's obviously the preparation, it's match day. And then there's the psychology of being in the group to be able to, which I suppose is part of preparation. But preparation, I mean, about the opposition and your tactics and strategies and how you're going to play and your game plan, et cetera, how you're going to defend. And then there's the psychology of the group as well. Publicly, what David's saying, I don't think you can say the same message week in and week out. So whether that's his psychology element, I don't think you can say we're on the right track all the time. And now we'll take some learnings out and we'll take some positives. I mean, some very poor efforts amongst those losses. And when you speak publicly, I think you're always addressing the supporters. You're not addressing the players. You've already addressed the players. So you're not addressing the players via another medium. You know, so you're telling the supporters. Now, the psychology of that is, well, we've got to tell the supporters you're not happy enough. That it is disappointing. They want to hear that we're going to do something differently. And it seems, though, to probably get to more to answer your question, if you keep doing the same thing and get the same result, well, it's not the right way to go, is it? So they need to change some things. And I haven't seen anything really that's changed, except a few little magnets here and there that's been moved. But generally, at the moment, we're seeing the same thing and the same results happening.
It's interesting, because the reason I asked the question is because I think he's being harshly treated on a win-loss situation because they've had some tough games. But the point that you've just made is, I guess, the one that's is really valid at the moment, is that they are continuing to play the same way and they're coming up short against the good teams. Is that because they don't have the talent, or they need to play it differently?
Oh, I think they need to play it differently. And I think, now, they've gone from a side when he took them over that used to defend dually and they're just outside the boundary, around the boundary, and it was really basic and horrible footy. And he opened it up and played some good footy and showed them what they can do rather than what they can't do, which was positive. And it becomes a line in the sand there moment, and that doesn't last long as a new coach or a caretaker coach. You've got to defend as well. And I think in the big moments in the game where they are a chance to win, or the week before, who was either played the Bulldogs, was it? They were a big third quarter. But they just couldn't defend the last quarter. They just couldn't hang in there. Mm. So there's two elements there. To be able to keep playing the same, not the same way, but be able to do, or when there's momentum swings, and that's the biggest criticism of them. When there's momentum swings, they can't arrest that. And they've got to be able to find a way to be able to block the game up, take the air out of the contest until now that no one scores for the next 10 minutes, including them. So that's... There doesn't seem to be, it seems to play the same way, and all of a sudden, when it swings against them, it seems to be a psychological thing now with the players. It's like, oh, here we go again. That's what it looks like. I'm not saying it is, because all of a sudden the three goals becomes four goals, becomes five goals, and all of a sudden they're gone, they're out of it.
There's a similar situation to that one you're articulating there, Rocket, on Saturday night at Marvel Stadium, where the Giants owned that game against Richmond.
Yes.
If you're Leon Cameron, I mean, they coughed up the last quarter, and Richmond put their foot in the gas, and they were a different beast in that last quarter, in fairness, as well. But they didn't cope with it very well. So if you're Leon Cameron, you dominated the game. It was an undermanned Richmond, albeit, but you dominated that game, and you lost it. What are you taking out of that? What's your message to your players there?
Well, that's a different situation, because I reckon there's a lot more hanging on that than the Carlton results.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because they're in the eight. Richmond are out of the eight. I think now it's really hard for the, even though mathematically they can, they're only a game out. I don't know if the Giants can make it. That will really hurt psychologically. I think you've got to be positive about what they did really well, but they've got to address I don't think enough seems outside, but address where we went wrong. It doesn't have to be a criticism, but we've got to fix that, because if that same situation happens, seems to me on telly, it's always difficult on the TV, going forward, but there's no forwards. It seemed like they were all in their half, the opposition's half of the ground trying to defend. Mm. Now, breaking through at times, they had four and five players in the centre square, and they were handballing and they were clear. I think an example was that Lockie Ash in the end tried to kick a goal from 60 and marked by Richmond, and Richmond went down and got a goal.
Yeah.
They just didn't. There was a few structural things that were incorrect. They seemed to go back into their shell. Let's save the game. Once you start saving the game in today's footy, you're really going to battle. And I mean, save it completely, like for a whole 30 minutes or 40 minutes, what they're trying to do. And once the Tigers' momentum was up, and they moved it so quickly, the Tigers, I mean, they couldn't slow the game down at all. The Giants, they need to address some things, maybe keep some forward structures. Green was the only one who had a busted shoulder, so, I mean, that wasn't a positive for them either. So it was a game, really, they're going to rue. There's no doubt. I think now it's going to cost them big time. It's going to cost them a spot in the finals or a chance in the finals. And they got injuries out of it as well. So, but to answer your question, you just got to stay positive with it and just take some learnings out of it.
I'm sure David Noble will be positive moving on from that after their win over the Hawks on the weekend. Eight in a row that they lost. They win the first one for the season. Are you letting them get out and have a bit of a good time, or how do you play this one, Rocket? They don't get around this to this too often, this four-point situation.
I think in their situation, you've got to enjoy your success because then, with all due respect, there mightn't be another one this year. Now, they might have one more. So enjoy it, but, I mean, you can't enjoy it for 2 days. And you can't enjoy it big time. You just got to take your mind away from footy and just take your head out of the bubble a bit and just enjoy it as best you can. And then you're back on the Monday morning, you're back on full time. But I think more of the story out of that game is probably the Hawks. I think what it'll do to North Melbourne, it gives everyone involved in that club, including supporters, oh, we're on the right track. Mm. It's like, you know, we can see the youngsters playing, they try and score goals, which I think is got to be part of your development. You've seen other teams developing, and it's all about defence.
Yep.
And you defend, and then eventually the dam wall breaks, and the psychology of it is just horrible for them. But at least you can take some positives away when you're playing some positive football. Even like, if you get beaten by 8 goals, it's the same as getting beaten by 4 goals. But with that, you've kicked an extra 4 or 5 goals yourself. So there's some positive play with the youngsters. And that's what they've been doing. So, you know, from that aspect, I think that's been a positive for them. Some young lads are playing well. So they'll take a lot out of that, there's no doubt.
Well, just on the Hawks then, are you headlocking or hugging if you're Alistair Clarkson, your players this week?
I think
you want a headlock if you've taken this long.
No, what I was going to say, I was trying to, but there's no way I should. Their list is not good enough.
Yeah, so, but they were 32 points up against the bottom team who hadn't won a game.
They were, which is strange because they're two games they've won have come from behind, where they've been 5 or 6 down or whatever, even more down against Essendon, got up and won. So there's some real, there are some issues there, but they haven't got a great list. I think they might be in more trouble than what North Melbourne are, to be honest, because they've got a few older players who are on the way out. They haven't had first round draft picks. I think we spoke on this when we had Jimmy on last year and even the year before. We spoke about having the reality of knowing where your list is at.
Yep.
And once you start being delusional, you hang in there and you end up even finish middle of the road, or then the bottom drops out when you just haven't got enough picks. So you just got to know where your list is at. And I don't think the Hawks probably knew where their list was at the last couple of years and topped up and forgone some early draft picks. And I think that's going to bite them on the backside, to be honest.
Well, they might have a high one this year, the way things are going.
There's no doubt there.
At Waverley. Rocket, always great to chat to you about the world of footy. Love Tuesday mornings. We appreciate it, mate. Good luck, and we'll chat to you soon.
See you, guys. Have a good week.